Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're hanging out with us. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with us because we got Joanna Brandy back on the show. Joanna is an original member of our Brain Trust. She's one of the founding members of our Brain Trust. Heck, I got to give her that title for sure. And she is one of the top customer care experts in the galaxy, certainly across the planet. And she's written a number of books on the topic. She spends her life and her career devoted to helping companies like yours and mine love up our customers so they'll come back over and over again. And she's got some good stuff for us right now. Joanna Brandy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's always good to be back. And I love that expression, love up your customers.
You got
to
love them up, don't
you? You got to love them up.
Well, you know, the thing is when you think about, Joanna, when you think about what's going on right now, everybody's looking for value, but it's heavily the value equation between what you get and what you pay for it. That value proposition there is becoming a little more heavily weighted toward what you pay for it, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And has been now for a few months.
Well, a little bit more than a few months, Bob. The thing is, I think I've been working the past couple of weeks. I've been out doing CEO meetings and. One of the things I do in these CEO meetings on a flip chart, is sit there and I help people understand what is value. And you'd be surprised at how many people have difficulty making a list of all the components that go into value.
Now, who are the people in these meetings?
Most of them are CEOs. Sometimes they're the second in charge,
right,
if they're a key meeting.
Right.
So these are people that they should know.
These are pros.
Their value proposition should roll off their tongue.
Yeah.
It should roll off their tongue.
And they couldn't do it.
Well, they have a hard time. I think people are stumped with what's going on right now. We put price up there, so I put the words value proposition. The next word I put is price. Let's go from there, because that's important. And then what comes next? And, the next word is usually convenience. So we break that down into, locality, hours of operation, all the different things, ease of moving around the website, all of those things. But it takes me about 15 minutes to process this exercise, to get the whole group to make sure that everything that every component of value that they have ever thought of is there, and of course in the end all of those things have to roll up into experience that makes you feel good.
What I think happens to big company CEOs and little company CEOs, I think they get so wrapped up in what they sell and how they put it on the shelf and how it goes out in the truck and how it's presented on, looks dancing across the television and or listening or
yes,
playing over the radio in their advertising or in a magazine print magazine ad or something like that. They get so wrapped up in those elements of putting the deal together, running the business, making it available to customers, that they forget that the real place where the rubber meets the road is on the other side of that picture.
Yeah.
Looking back at the company, how does this all go together?
Yeah.
And they think, well, okay, I got products on the shelf, I got the right stock, I got my prices are competitive, my trucks are ready to go, I got delivery men, we're on time, blah blah blah. Well, you know what? That's from your perspective. That's not from the customer's perspective.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
the customer's perspective, it might look like you're a robot. Not a customer that wants to love me.
Not a love machine.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just a love machine. Exactly.
But you are so right. That ability to be able to step back and get into the customer's shoes. The problem with most people when they attempt to get into their customer's shoes is they forget to take their own shoes off first.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're not.
Say that again. Say that again. I like that.
The problem with people that try to take the view from the customer's shoes is that they forget to take their own shoes off first.
This is going to be on the test, folks. Go ahead.
Okay. But they're unable to look naively and objectively at their own business because they're attached to the things that they've done. So if they have a clever new product, if they put into place a clever new process, if they've got a new truck, when they look back at it, they still see it from their perspective.
You know, I think about companies competing against each other, like a couple of teenage boys competing for the homecoming queen.
Well, and sometimes they do, and that
and flexing their muscles, and you know, and not that the homecoming queen doesn't like muscles, but nobody thought to ask her. Maybe she'd just rather go to the movie tonight.
Yeah. You know? And I think we see that, especially in the, you know, we see that in the telecommunications industry. We see that in so many different industries that. What's happened is they're so focused on competing with one another's
right.
marketing deal
right.
that they've completely forgotten that there's a customer
happens
at the
all
other
the
end
time.
Of it.
Especially, this is really something. If I could tell big companies, if I could give them one piece of advice, which they don't, you know, they don't usually hang out and ask me those things. But if I give them one piece of advice, it'd be what you just said.
Well, yeah.
And I've written about this. You know, it's called. I actually gave it a name, Joanna. It's called the customer, what customer syndrome.
The customer, what customer syndrome. And on the other side of it, I'm going to get on the other side of it because I'm in the middle of writing an article now for a magazine called ROI, which is really about the cross-channel experience. So I'm looking to.
What's the cross-channel experience?
Cross-channel means that you can purchase. You can get to the company from a variety of different ways. So you can buy the product on the internet.
Yeah.
You can walk in the store. You can call them on the phone. You can find them in a catalog that shows up in your mailbox. You can, you know, and now of course it's extending to your phone, your mobile phone, and thing like that. And there's a big challenge with cross-channel because the companies that are doing it, some are small, some are big, but the companies that are doing it. Very often have these different silos and different people responsible for it.
Oh yeah.
So they're sort of at cross purposes. You know, you can buy it online, but then you can't return it at the store, or you can buy it at the store, and if you have a problem with it, you can't call the phone number that's shown on the screen, and so it's making it hard for the customer. Do you remember Ray Considine, who wrote that?
The
late great Ray Considine.
Yep.
Who wrote that wonderful book, Waymish, Why Are You Making It So Hard? And I think that's such an important, if every CEO stepped back of any size company, including mine, because I know where the gaps are.
Which how this manifests in a small business, because we've all seen it in big companies, is, well, that's not our policy. Or, you know, we don't know how to deal with this situation. When you just take care of the customer. And then deal with it afterwards. Get the customer what they want, and then deal with everything else afterwards. Clean up the mess afterwards. 20 after. Joanna Brandy and I will be right back. Just like all the rest. We're back. It's 23 after. Joanna Brandy is our guest. She is the customer care coach. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Duke of Earl. Glad to be with you as always. We're having some great conversation with Joanna about how to take care of our customers and make sure that we're thinking like them. If you'd like to check me out online, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you will check it out because we got a new look. It's a new look and feel of the website. I think it'll help you navigate the website just a little bit better. And so check that out when you get a chance. Don't forget to see my blog, my newsletter while you're there. Subscribe to both of those, either or both of those, no extra charge. You can listen, you can read. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something you can do there, including an incredible body of work that Joanna Brandy has deposited with us over the years. Joanna, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you.
That's customercarecoach.com.
It's pretty simple. Customer
That's
care
very
coach.
Simple. And
can
my
they find
blog,
your books there?
And my blog is customercaregoddess.com.
Ooh. No pretension there,
no
right?
No pretension there.
Customer care goddess. No, I think that fits. I think that's appropriate.
Well, I think it's also a nice way to get the alter ego out.
I might have said diva, but goddess is good.
Yeah, that's close. See, that's close.
Diva's goddess with a little attitude, isn't
that's
it?
That's true.
So we're talking, folks, about how to put yourself in your customer's shoes. This thing, I really think this is a serious and basically a potentially terminal condition, this customer, what customer syndrome that you and I basically are, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where companies, you know, think about the marketplace and their customers as if they're pawns in a game between you and your competitor.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's a mistake.
It's a real mistake. And the focus on the customer has to be there at every level of the organization. I had a delightful conversation yesterday with Dick Nelson, who's the CEO of Marco Meetings. And I've known Dick for many years. It's like a medium-sized company. It's not a tiny company, but it's a medium-sized catalog company that serves the meetings industry. And, you know, it was such a good interview because Dick knows every angle of his business. And he's got such a focus on his customers. I talk about him frequently when I'm speaking because one of the things that Dick does, and I love it, is Dick doesn't let anybody call a customer until they've bought the second time.
Oh.
They call them testers.
They're still prospects, huh?
He doesn't even call them a prospect. They're a tester. If somebody buys one time, they're testing them out to see if the experience and the product are great. If they don't buy again, the company has failed the test.
How do they talk to the customer? I mean, are they allowed to say, have we done what?
Oh, they certainly do. They track their first-time customers, and if that customer doesn't buy again, they actually call them. They actually get, because their data is so precise, they're able to understand, because they know exactly how much money it costs them to get a customer in the
first
place.
Yeah. And it's a lot cheaper to get them back.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper to put somebody on the phone saying, you know, you bought something from us a couple of months ago, and, you know, do you just do this once a year, or is this something you do frequently? Because remember, they sell mostly the meeting.
And they don't call them up and say, you bought something from us a couple of months ago, and you haven't been back. What's the matter with you?
No. They call, and they want to understand the customer's business, because they've got a very sophisticated database, which any company can afford these days.
Right.
And they put that data in the database. So maybe this is somebody that bought 1,000 badges. But maybe there's somebody that bought 1,000 badges because they're going to have 12 conferences that all have 1,000 people and they should be buying again.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's somebody that buys all 1,000 badges they're going to need for the year at the beginning of the year.
Shouldn't we find that out, though, when they're there the first time? Isn't that information we could mine
first
time?
Well, yes, it is if you're on the phone with them. But because many of us are working cross-channel now, so people can come in and buy things on the Internet.
Oh, I see. So
or they can
internet
buy
customers.
It from the catalog.
I gotcha.
or they can
mm-hmm.
call the... So,
mm-hmm.
so when you have that many entry points, it is kind of hard to figure out what's going on. So you need to put a system into place, and any small company can do this now because the CRM systems have gotten inexpensive enough.
It cost GM $50 million to have one 20 years ago.
Now you can
rent them for $29 a month or less,
or something like that. Yeah. And I think that's really important. I had dinner with a friend that owns a business the other night, and I was shocked because she's a really, really good businesswoman. She's got a very successful business, and she just put in a CRM system.
Yeah.
I said, if you don't mind me asking, what were you doing before this? And she said, you're not going to believe this. I was still using index cards.
Hmm.
But it goes to show you that you can run a successful business.
But Joanna, good for her, because there's a lot of people listening right now who don't even use index cards.
Yeah.
Folks, you got to get with the program.
She was successful because she was able to keep track of what her customers wanted. And even without the technology, and I think that speaks very well for what we can do whether we have technology or not. The technology helps, but the important thing is the desire to really understand the customer side of the story.
And Joanna, there's one other thing. Not only is this good information to help you serve them better, but customers generally like the fact that you are keeping up with what they're doing and you remember it next time they come in or next time they come by or drop by your website or whatever.
It makes their life easy.
Yeah.
When I think of the vitamin store, now I don't buy my vitamins on the web. Don't know why I don't, but when I think about the store I go to, I always forget something.
Uh-huh.
If they kept a list of what I use on a regular basis, they could tell me.
Exactly. And that early onset's getting harder, too, isn't it?
I know. I think I'm going to start buying them on the web where they keep a list.
Hey, Joanna, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks so much.
CustomerCareCoach.com. Joanna Brandy, ladies and gentlemen, she is positively the best. And she'll be back. As you can tell, she is good, isn't she? She'll be back soon. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.